Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Shrine Podcast presents The Traders. I'm Hannah.
I'm Brendan.
And I'm Rebecca.
And the three of us are back around our own personal round table for the first time in a while. All individual side missions to London have been completed, and I have got to catch up on the last two episodes now that I'm back on Irish soil. And guys, what an episode last night's was. Ash did indeed go to ashes. Meg was murdered, and the Paul downfall continued. We even saw the man manipulate his own apparent genuine emotions about his family. Like, he's absolutely ruthless. We'll have to get into that later. It was an emotional episode for Harry, who lost his fellow veteran Johnny, although he still has Tracy, to a banishment. But despite crying in the corridor, he ended the episode by telling us he loves the game. We got a brilliant sort of catapult mission and loads of quieter faithfuls coming to the forefront. So I'm really excited to get into it. Brendan is on the recap. Rebecca is on the thoughts and theories. Guys, it was a great episode yesterday. I missed you loads.
Listen, we're all good, Hannah. I've been loving watching this now the last few nights. I found last night's episode quite emotional at times. I found them doing that whole team bonding thing together at the catapult and all.
Yeah, they were really putting in kind of the life stories and people's life experiences more than they have done. I guess as we lose more people, there's more room in an episode to learn more about them.
This is it. We were getting the X Factor angles, weren't we? The few sob stories and why everyone was cast and all of that. So yeah, it was good. But did feel very sorry for Harry. Was sorry to lose Johnny. Sad. Thought it was the right time for Ash to go, however.
Yeah, based on the way they've played it, I think. Like, until the dungeon thing came around, I don't think that... Or sorry, you said Ash. Ash. Oh, yeah, Ash. No. Sorry to see Ash. Sorry, I thought you said Meg for a second. Yeah. I was like, until they did the dungeon,
Meg wasn't on my radar. I don't know what that
was.
No.
She was just a sacrificial lamb,
100%.
Really.
Yeah. 100%.
Who has our thoughts and theories this week? It's Rebecca, but Brandon, you're on the recap.
So, Traitors, Season 2, Episode 5 starts obviously with the reveal that Ash is a traitor, and there was no more to it than that. There was no parting gift. I think they were just, as Rebecca said on yesterday's episode, moving it into the next episode, so it had the reaction from the faithful had room to breathe.
Guys, I did see one tweet, though. I forgot to screen grab it, but some people were saying it was a bit of a reach, but they were saying that the words that Ash used when she was leaving were the first letter in some of the words were pointing to the first letter of the traitors, the names.
We have that as well from somebody later on in the voice note. Very similar theory.
Yeah.
So obviously, all the faithful, they were like whooping, hollering, jumping around the round table, delighted that they got their first traitor. But the fun wasn't going to last, because Claudia reminded the group that either Meg or Paul would be murdered. And obviously we know going into it that it's going to be Meg, because Paul is a traitor and they can't murder themselves. So then Paul does a piece to camera.
What went on with Meg, guys? Do you just think they didn't air it, or like, what was it? Because like, people wanted her gone.
I just think they completely used her as a scapegoat.
Because she's quiet. I think Paul just masterminded that one and said, oh, it's the quiet people. It's the quiet people. He kept pushing that narrative, and then they just chose her because she wasn't speaking up as much. And she kind of even said it herself when it happened. She was like, oh, I think they just thought I was observing the whole time.
Yeah, I think it's the same way as like you go into a round table and for no reason whatsoever to deflect from yourself, you're just like, oh, Hannah, I think you're a traitor. Like, there's literally no rhyme or reason. They just pick someone. So then Paul does this piece to camera, and he's like, very aware that some people won't like how he's playing the game. But he's like, if you're in here, this is the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. It's so stressful. you would understand if you were here why you would act the way I'm acting.
Yeah, I'm glad we're seeing some of that side of Paul, and I suppose maybe they just haven't been able to fit all that in. Like, they can't fit in everyone talking about everything during the talking heads, but it is nicer to see more of a human side to Paul.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And also, it would be really boring, this series, without him. Like, he's brilliant TV,
yeah, true.
But he is just
true.
A bit cocky in
yeah.
his role, you know?
Yeah,
so, and I think it is making it interesting, though, especially now.
Yeah, yeah. So it's interesting that Paul is aware of basically every single thought and theory we had on yesterday's episode. Paul's aware of. He gets
yeah,
it.
He totally gets it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So obviously, Hannah, as you mentioned there, like, he was bawling at the last round table, saying that he was ready to go home. He's like, I want to go see my wife and kids. And then he says in this piece, he was like,
wild.
It was genuine emotion reshaped to benefit my narrative. Yeah. I was like, wow.
That was a Jill Bigelow line
now,
whenever
I
heard
really
one.
Was.
Yeah.
You can't reshape genuine emotion to benefit your narrative and pretend that's a normal thing to do.
Yeah.
Now,
Tracy, for the first time, actually can see into the future, and the clairvoyant, you know, kind of nature is coming through here. She says if Meg is the murdered one, she's like, it's obvious that Paul is a traitor, right?
But where was she in the rest of the episode?
Well, we saw her charge
a little bit.
At the round
yeah.
table. Like, they're not saying anything.
Yeah, no, they're quiet. Yeah. Do you know what I really miss then?
Guys, we saw her charging her crystal, though, on yesterday's episode during one of those, like, little filler in the bedroom
yeah.
segments.
Yeah.
Charlotte
Sorry.
Was in the bath.
But I don't like those.
I don't.
I'm not into those scenes.
I like
guys,
them. They're
Charlotte
ridiculous.
In the bath, I like, fully in the nip.
How did I miss that?
No, that was a bit much now in the side boob. I was like, you know, get it, girl, but also, like, this
it was
is
just
yeah.
like, Jesus.
But come
yeah.
here.
I really...
What I love about it is... We know that they don't stay there in those rooms. They're in a travel lodge on the side of an
this
airport.
This is what I was just
way.
About to
so,
say.
Like,
I really
hear
Claudia saying everyone off to their individual
lodgings.
They have scrapped that this season.
Yeah.
Because we spoke to Meryl for our radio show and we were like, where's your individual lodgings? And Meryl was like, I can't speak about anything you don't see on screen, i.e. we're in a travel lodge.
Yeah. I.e. it's, yeah, or a Premier
yeah,
Inn, maybe,
yeah.
you know what I mean?
Yeah. So Paul, Miles and Harry gather in Traitor's Tower and they're basically like, look, Ash was the weakest link. She's gone. Goodbye. In the
Which
words of Anne Robinson.
I have to say, guys, like, Paul, really, some of the things that he said during this chat, like, he was, do you know what I mean? Paul was basically saying, oh, you know, a team's only as good as their weakest player. Mm. And I get all that, but I really do feel like he's going to turn on one of the others. Like, he was eyeing Harry up last night when Harry was getting really emotional.
I think Harry will turn on Paul before Paul turns on Harry.
I do as well. I couldn't agree more. And guys, Miles, I said it from the very first episode, he's going to reign
yeah.
victorious because Paul is just doing
he
too
is,
much
but
talking.
Paul will turn on Harry, but I think Harry will do the same, but I think Harry will be more believable because he's been under less suspicion the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. True.
Yeah, and don't underestimate
no.
Harry. He booted Johnny
yeah.
out, like, even though it really was something he didn't want to do. So Harry's a little dark.
Yeah, so during this chat then, they're obviously, like, the only decision is they can murder Meg tonight. And Paul knows, they have this conversation in Traitor's Tower. And Paul is like, this does mean that everyone is going to think that I'm a traitor. And then they do this whole thing that really just, I was like, ugh. They were like, oh yeah, traitors 2.0, traitors 2.0, like, lads, now that Ash is gone. And I was like, oh, shut up. Down at breakfast then.
Yeah, get a grip.
The whole chat before, they obviously know that it's either Meg or Paul that's not going to walk through the door. So the whole conversation around the breakfast table is that if Paul walks through the door, he's a traitor, right? But Diane's sort of slipping here because she's the one of the only ones who's like, oh no, Paul's not a traitor. Like, Paul has won Diane over.
Yeah, he has.
And she's quite astute. And this is... Like, Paul's the only one where she's just like, no, I don't agree. And this is where Diane and Ross differ, because Ross is like, he's suspicious about Paul.
Yeah.
But Diane just doesn't believe that Paul's a traitor whatsoever.
I think Paul's just charmed Diane a bit. Remember before
yeah.
he was like, you know, you do remind me of my mum. I just hope it was okay for me to say that. But I do, you do remind me of her. And also, there obviously is a strong friendship
some sort
there.
Of a connection, yeah. So...
Guys, cult leaders need to study Paul, because he has people in there that would... send themselves out for him. He has like
he
followers like Charlotte, Diane. He's and people keep saying things like, oh, but Paul's so popular. Paul's such a big car. We love Paul. What has the man done to these people in three nights? Because they are obsessed.
They are.
Well, the obsession continues because Paul walks through the breakfast door. Now, the reaction is mixed. And you sort of see there's two things on people's faces. The first is, oh wow, okay, it's Paul, not Meg. And then the second is this sort of realization on a lot of people's faces of, What does this mean? Does this mean that you are a traitor? It's very, everyone's like, oh my God, it's you. Oh, it's you.
Yeah.
Oh, it's you.
Yeah, it's mixed emotions. They're really happy that he's still there because obviously they get on well with them. But then they're like, hold on. Oh dear God. What does this mean now?
Yeah.
And you know what? The people are still lying to themselves in there.
It's
if that
like,
was someone they didn't like, they would have literally turned. It would have been like they would have thrown him to the wolves.
Couldn't agree more, Rebecca.
The sort of the realization, they're you know, at the end of Mrs. Doubtfire when Sally Field, when his mask slips, and she's like, "It's you, Daniel, Daniel!" Like that, you sort of see that realization on their faces. So then we see Meg then in the chair, like having been told that she's been murdered, and she says Meg feels that she was murdered because she was too observant.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know now how observant Meg was.
Well, okay, she wasn't talking, so she was observant.
Fair point. Fair
what
enough.
What was she doing?
You have to back yourself, guys.
Yeah.
You know
so then
I mean?
Out at some gorgeous fountains, Paul is like, you know, gathering a little gang around and he's trying to, you know, spin his narrative.
He's having a little sit.
Now, I really feel like this is like... Anthony the chess player's episode, right? So Anthony, I feel, has sat observing for the last few episodes. And then in this episode, Anthony is in for the kill, right? Ross has it in for Johnny from early on in this episode. And Jazz, this is where Jazz starts his little conversation.
Oh my God.
Jazz is convinced, and he's telling anyone who will listen, that Paul is a traitor. And Jazz says, if I am murdered tonight, it's because Paul is a traitor. I'm telling you now, please, I'm spreading my message before I'm murdered tonight.
Jazz has it sussed. Jazz is like, Paul isn't making any eye contact with me. I don't want to bring up his name because he's too popular. He's too strong of a character. And he's like, I'm not going all guns blazing because I'll be on the chopping block. Jazz has it sussed, but he's waiting for the right time to pounce.
Yeah. No, he's all over it. I've noticed at this point that Diane and Ross, they keep sitting side by side. I'm like, guys, someone's going to end up going, God, you guys look alike. Will you just separate?
No, they're
just
hanging out too much.
Scram.
And she stares at him with these loving eyes.
Yeah, they need to stop.
Yeah.
They need to stop.
Yeah, she does.
So it's on to the mission. The prize pot, we find out, currently stands at £32,300. And this mission means they could earn themselves another 10 grand, right? What they need to do is build a catapult and shoot a giant golden cannonball across a field. Sounds easy. As part of this mission, there are 5 boxes along the route where they have to gather up all the furniture to build the sling thing. Mm. And in each of these 5 shields, there are shield cannonballs, which basically the rules are there are 5 to be got. If 5 people were to get them, they all 5 of them shoot the ball. Whichever one lands closest to the bullseye, that person gets a shield and they're protected from murder, right? Mm.
So, not banishment.
Not banishment.
Murder. Everybody got it.
Anthony is using this mission. He's going into it being like, I'm using this mission to watch people like a hawk and to just really see what's going on, how people are behaving.
Yeah. He says when you're playing a game, you can't...
You are truly yourself.
Yeah, you're truly yourself when you're playing a game like that.
Yeah. So then we see them pass...
This is what I've been waiting for from my guy Anthony, because I was so fascinated by the fact that he was a chess instructor or champion at the start, and then he was very quiet. He fell back. He had that issue with Diane, or she had that issue with him, let's be honest. Then we didn't get a lot of him, and now I'm here for it. And I like the way he rationalizes things. I like the way he's like, no, there's 2 logical conclusions, so it's either Paul or it's a double bluff or it's this. And I like the way we're hearing more from him now, because I just think
he's talking total sense.
Jazz and Anthony need to join forces and start their own little club.
I wrote that down, Rebecca. I'd love to see them team up. Can I also just note that Claudia must have been sweating during this mission, because there's people out there in the fields in bicycle shorts and crop tops and the woman is in a shirt buttoned up to the
neck. The weather they got.
Cards
and it was filmed in like September.
Cords.
Like mid-September.
What is? Love that you know that, Brandon.
She took her a couple of weeks off from her Radio 2 show. That's how I know.
DCI O'Loughlin.
So they pass the first shield box on this mission, right? And everyone sticks together. They're like lugging the catapult up the hill and like no one even considers going for it, right? However, Molly then does grab a shield box along the route. Harry... I love this from Harry. Harry's a bit ageist here. He's like, I'm not saying everyone else is old, but they've all got wives and stuff.
It was my favourite.
It's a really good line.
Myself and my fella were laughing about that because it's true though. Do you know when you're 21
yeah,
and you're like,
22. Yeah, yeah,
holy
yeah.
shit, like, you yeah. know, someone's what? Married to someone, you're yeah. like, whoa, they must be old.
It's like when you started secondary school and you looked at the people who were in the final year of your secondary school, yeah. you're like, oh my God, they're adults.
They're
like,
only 5 years
no,
old.
They're not. Yeah,
guys,
they're
can I say
children.
One thing as well about yeah. this whole Please. Challenge mission? I felt the same way watching this as I did when I watched Top Gun Maverick. I wanted to punch the air. I don't know if it was all, I just felt like, oh my God. It was just
everyone rowing yeah. together. It was yeah, it was effort.
It was a real team effort.
You know,
yeah.
everyone was helping.
Yeah. And everyone was really praising Johnny in this mission for like working harder than everyone else. Like they cut away to a couple of different people just being like, Johnny really works the hardest. Well, like fucking fast forward 20 minutes and you've all voted him out. So Molly's grabbed a shield box. Then Ross grabs a shield box. But Ross only goes back for the shield box after like a lot of encouragement from Harry. Like, as in, like, Harry sort of like almost overdid it. He was like, no, honestly, gentlemen, I've had one, so now you go and get one.
I think it is because Ross was the only one who hadn't had a shield, but I think Ross was hesitant because he was like, if I go for this, I'm going to be put under, like, kind of,
yeah,
you know, thinking that I'm not a team player. It's a hard one. I probably wouldn't want to go for the shields.
Yeah, Harry just really was like, no, you go and get it. Miles is...
Guys, do you think there's chemistry between Harry and Molly? Like, do we know if they're single? I thought they were quite cute in this episode.
I was looking on Harry's Instagram one of the days and I think he has a girlfriend. But he said that they're just both kind of the same age. They get on really well. They have a good friendship.
Love that. Girls and boys can be friends.
So then they get back. They have all the bits and pieces they need and they start to build the catapult. And Miles is really confused. He's like, I don't know why everyone keeps looking to me like as the person that like can build things. He's like, people just look towards Miles as like a natural sort of leader.
He's just a natural
which
born leader.
Really feeds into him playing a great game as a traitor.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
he's doing a really good
job. No one suspects him whatsoever. No. Claudia is beyond excited here that they've built the catapult. She's like jumping up and down, clapping her hands. Charlie fires. Charlie's the one that gets to fire the golden ball and she just roars. She's like, this is for Bristol, as she fires it. And they add 10 grand to the prize pot, which now stands at over £42,000. Ross and Molly, they're both the ones obviously that got the shield boxes, so they both fire a shield ball each. Ross gets the closest to the bullseye, so he is safe from murder tonight. Sorry, at this point as well, I remembered. In the last episode, we didn't mention this yesterday, Ross said that him and Diane have not asked each other if they're traitors. They've just assumed that they're both faithful. They haven't had the conversation.
No.
That's interesting, isn't it?
I think maybe it's like this kind of, do they know just from each other's demeanour and body language, knowing each other so well that they just don't think either of them are hiding something because they've acted very much themselves. It could be, you know.
Or do they not want to ask the question because they're afraid of making the other person lie?
They don't need to yet.
Yeah.
I guess it's that too. They haven't suspected each other yet, do you know, as well.
You'd definitely have a secret code before you go in though, wouldn't you?
I'd say the producers are like, ah.
Surely to God, it's like, ma'am, blink at me 3 times if you're
like
a
traitor.
Like
you're one who coughed and who wants to be a millionaire.
Yeah.
Weren't. Wasn't
iconic
that person related to Camilla?
Movie about that.
Really?
I think so.
The Queen?
Yeah. There's that some distant relation to Camilla was the person
that
in the chair.
Goes all the way to the top.
Jesus.
All the way to the top. Not sure Jesus. Bob either. Okay.
Exactly.
So the guys are gathered around that gorgeous kitchen with the lovely gold tap, having a bit of food. Anthony is speaking up here now again. He's like, he is all go for Paul, as is Jazz. Jazz is... Once again, he's like, if I'm murdered tonight, it's Paul, I'm telling you all. So we move on to the round table.
But Anthony and Zach have a bit of a scrap here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're scrapping with each other. Like, but they're both so intelligent. I'm like, lads, stop fighting. Get together. You can take over the whole castle.
Team up.
Bring your minds together.
I want Anthony, I want Zach, and I want Jazz in a trio. And then I want them to bring in Tracy. And then I want them to pull out her clairvoyant skills. And I want them to team up and take everyone down.
Yeah. Claudia does this really dramatic walk to the round table holding a large torch that's on fire. I loved it.
It was
so dramatic.
So dramatic. It was just, I loved that. I was like, oh my God, when I saw it on the screen.
Yeah. So everyone's kind of going into this and like, they're all sort of like, we don't know what way this is about to go. So Claudia says, who would like to start? Ross is straight in on the attack for Johnny. He's like, mate, you're a traitor. The way you behave around this table is completely different to the way you behave on missions. Like, on a mission, you're like, you know, the guy who goes for it. You're so helpful, so vocal. And he said, not even just on the missions, but he was like, just in general. So I guess stuff that we don't get to see when they're just around the castle. Apparently, Johnny is a very different person day to day than he is around the round table. And Ross was like, therefore, I think you are a traitor, right?
It's a very tough balance to strike, you know? Like, you don't want to speak up too much of those round tables if you are a faithful, because you're going to put a target on your own back. So, and I think Johnny, just as he said it, he's like, I don't trust anyone. I wasn't... It's sad, but you can see how it can happen. You can see how Ross suspected that. His demeanour was changing. So, yeah.
But it's exactly how they got Ash out. They said that she was... And we didn't see it either, but she was very, like... you know, very chatty outside the round tables, like big personality, really, really fun, and then would zip it. And they obviously found a traitor in her. So they're obviously trying to apply the same methodology to the rest of the people there and do it again.
Bottom line is, but you don't have a fucking clue.
No.
Like, there's no way to know.
So
there
if they have a fucking clue.
Imagine if I was there chatting away about this, that, and screaming, laughing, and then I go onto the table and say nothing. You'd be like, Jesus, Rebecca, what's wrong with you?
Yeah. But there, like, there is no way
you
to
would,
tell.
But also,
so you have to, like...
There's a lot to take in at the round table. So I think that would happen to me, because I'd be like, I want to watch everyone, and then I'd forget to talk. Kel surprise. And then I'd be banished.
So Ross is straight in for Johnny, right? Then Miles tries to get everyone to go for Zach. And then Anthony speaks up. And Anthony is like, people, for the love of God, will you please listen to me? It is fucking Paul. He is the traitor. And Anthony gives his... whole reasoning here. He's like, the dungeon. Meg got murdered. Paul walked back through the door. The bloody shield. Like, Anthony literally, without knowing, has got nail on head. Yeah. Like, he has it totally down.
But he has it down. But, like, they did spend the whole... When everyone was in the dungeon, right? And they voted out Ash. All of them were like... If Meg gets murdered, Paul is a traitor. Then the man walked in. His face shone into theirs with whatever power he possesses. And they all forgot they said that. And it wasn't even a conversation again to maybe bring it up around the round table. He got one vote.
It's insane that he wasn't banished.
Paul must be so charismatic.
Yeah. So then Paul basically... should respond and shut Anthony down here, but he completely fudges it again and sort of flips it. And I didn't catch who it was, but he turned around. I think it was to either Zach or Johnny, and was like, actually, I think you're the traitor, but didn't defend himself or try and justify or try and make up why he wasn't a traitor. I didn't think he did a very strong job of trying to sort of put Anthony's claims to bed here, right? Zach then goes for Anthony.
Oh.
And it's very heated around the table. And then Claudia has to step in and she's like, look, guys, it's time to vote. So I'm sitting there wondering, will anyone spell a name right? Will anyone hold a tile the right way up, upside down, back to front? So this is how it panned out. Harry voted to banish Johnny. Now, the camera hung on Paul here. Paul was sweating.
He was.
My interpretation of this was that Paul was nervous that Harry was about to vote for him.
Yeah, I think Paul just is very wary of Harry, because Harry's actually playing a better game than Paul at this point.
Yeah. 100%.
And has been. And I think he was like, if Harry really wants this, how ruthless is he? And now Paul's threatened by Harry, because Harry went for one of his best pals, who was also in the army. They say they share a brotherhood. They have a strong understanding of each other. They have a very strong bond. And I think now Paul is shitting it that Harry is...
Harry's
like, that was my one that I was going to struggle with. And now I don't give a fuck.
So Zach votes to banish Anthony. Johnny wants to banish Ross. Molly wants to banish Johnny. Miles wants to banish Zach. Also, sorry, I've thought about this a few times. So, you know the way when Claudia goes around the table, and it's very deliberate, like it's really well done, that she'll be like, okay, so who are you voting for, whatever. But they'll always leave it so that the numbers at the end, it's like loads of tension.
Cliffhangery.
I'm wondering, either... are there cameras in the ceiling that like watch what they're writing down, so the producers like know... Obviously, going into this, they know who everyone's voted for before Claudia walks around the table. And it's either there's cameras in the ceiling, or because they've said that it takes like well over an hour to shoot this, producers come in and they have to show them who they voted for, and then they go away with Claudia, like write it all down on the page, like, okay, go back in and ask them in this order. Because it's very deliberate. It's not by chance. I think the way it lands.
It's the same with those missions.
Yeah.
There's no way they're down to the wire building that catapult with 90 seconds to go and we're all choking at home. Yeah. I don't know. There has to be a bit of TV manipulation
magic. I would say they actually probably have a sense before the round table and they sit them in the strategic places close to where they think it will come to a
tiebreak. Everyone sits in the same. You have your same chair every night. Yeah.
Oh shit, I didn't know that.
Am I making that up? I think everyone sits in the exact same chair.
Oh Jesus, I've obviously been asleep at the
wheel. But like the producers couldn't have an idea because no one, everyone should have gone in here and voted for Paul and they didn't. Everyone was like Johnny. I'd love to see the moment that that happens though because I didn't get this last night. The moment on the table where everyone just goes, like Hannah, exactly like you said, going from Paul's the traitor to let's banish Johnny.
Well, see, we don't know why it's edited, though.
Yeah, I'd love to see that, though.
Yeah, I know. We'd love to see an uncut. I'd love to watch a spin-off show of just the
round table
uncut. Put the hours round table
on BBC YouTube.
Yeah, we'd all love to watch that.
Do you know what I was thinking I'd love? I'd love, like...
I think so.
Remember they used to do it on E4 where they do the 24-hour Big Brother cam? And they just have the bird noises when people were talking about personal things. I want 24 hours. Now, obviously, they're not. They're probably there for 12 hours.
Would never
I want
agree.
12-hour
no,
footage.
No, they'd never agree.
Never.
So then everyone else votes for Johnny. So Diane, Charlie, Charlotte, Evie, Anthony, Ross, Jasmine, Andrew and Tracy all vote for Johnny. The only person who didn't was, Charlie voted for Anthony. So everyone else left on that list voted for Johnny, right? So then Johnny stands up, obviously reveals that he's a faithful. He was like, if I'm smiling, he's like, it's because I get to see my kids really soon. No hard feelings, but I'm a faithful, like, shit one. Yeah. Claudia here is like, kind of on the verge of like angry. She's like pretty pissed off for the faithful and she's like real sarcastic. She's like, well done. She's like, you've just lost a great player. Harry at this point then starts hyperventilating at the table. So would I now if Claudia Winkleman told me she was disappointed in me.
Yeah.
I'd be like, oh no.
Oh, Harry,
I'm disappointed. Claudia.
I think Harry just broke there. The games just got to him and he genuinely just found it hard voting out his pal.
So then he dramatically leaves the set. Oh, it's all high drama. There's a shaky cam. It gave me very early Line of Duty vibes, if I'm honest. And he's out the back, like among like the kind of the like equipment for the cameras and the lights, having a few deep breaths, right? Meanwhile, Jeremy Kyle into the wings. Meanwhile, Jazz is then once again banging the Paul drum. He's like, if I get murdered tonight, it is because Paul is a traitor. But unfortunately, the person, or maybe actually fortunately for Jazz, the person he's told this is Harry, a fellow traitor. Again goes on, if I'm murdered,
I think that's what saved
Paul.
Him.
It's completely what saved him. It's completely what saved him.
Oh, maybe Jazz is even on to Harry. Holy God, imagine if he was too and he's going to say it to him. Ah!
I don't think he is.
No.
Paul, Miles and Harry, they return to Traitor's Tower to murder. Harry says that Jazz has just been chatting to me and Paul, he thinks you're a traitor. And Jazz says if he's murdered tonight, it's because Paul's a traitor and he's told everyone this. So I think accidentally Jazz has saved himself from being murdered because he was too on to Paul.
It was too obvious. Yeah, he's told too many people.
Then Paul turns around and he's like, well, Jazz is contained for the moment and has no following, so he's fine, like, not to murder. He can stay there. We're safe with him. And then it ends with Harry saying,
it's rude.
Yeah.
Harry's like, let's play smart. Let's not murder a big personality. Paul says Diane will be a good murder. Harry agrees. Miles says, let's go for Tracy. And Harry says, let's go for Charlotte. So our options for being murdered are Diane, Tracy or Charlotte. They then decide, we don't see who it is, but they say that's the perfect murder. It's a really good move. Mm. And they 100% agree. And the episode ends with Harry saying, I love this game. And I couldn't agree more, Harry. I love this game.
Guys, who do you think they're going to murder?
Excellent roundup.
Charlotte.
I think Diane. Because just what they said, it was a perfect murder.
They said, let's not go for a big
personality. Tracy's not a perfect
Diane's
murder.
Huge.
Oh, they did say that. Right. Then I think it's Tracy.
I don't think it's Charlotte. She's too much of a Paul supporter.
Okay.
I think it would be silly for Paul to get rid of her because she is very convinced of him.
Yeah.
Charlotte's
very smart, but she keeps saying she 100% trusts Paul and... but then Harry did argue that Tracy's a good player to kind of have at one point. I don't know. I don't think it's going to be Diane. However, if I put my little, you know, faux TV producer hat on, if Diane was to go, I would think it should fall on a Friday night episode. I think that the mother son situation, we've had a week of it now.
Yeah.
I wonder, are we going to get a big,
if we lost Diane.
Oh no, I'd be raging, but I wonder, are we going to get a big reveal tonight, a showdown?
Like, I don't care if we lose Charlotte, and I don't really care if we lose Tracy either.
Can you imagine if it was the round table and everyone's voting for Diane, and then Ross is like, no, it's not Diane because she's my mother? Can you imagine, like, if that happens tonight, we'd all be absolutely gagged. It would be such an amazing episode, when, because they do protect each other. They do it very subtly, but
subtle.
But Diane speaks up. Like last night when Ross was chatting away about Johnny, when Diane felt like it was turning a little bit, that maybe that might turn on Ross, she chimed in and said, let's look at this person.
They're trying
to protect each other very subtly. I am waiting for this reveal. I wonder, I don't know.
We have to get the reveal because the couple in it last year ended up having to tell everyone.
Yeah.
And that gave us loads of drama. So surely to God we're getting a reveal.
I don't think it's going to be Diane anyway. I reckon it could be Charlotte. If Charlotte wasn't in it, I wouldn't mind.
And guys, speaking of reveals, obviously we didn't get the lineup at the very first episode where they threw two people out and then brought them back. So do you think some twists like that is still to come, or are they just not going to do something like that this season?
I think that we saw the preview of, I think it was last Friday, and it said that someone was going to be murdered in plain sight. So I think that might be the next
thing where they
bit.
Tap them on the shoulder
like
they did last
year. I think that
year.
Might be, we might see that tonight. Someone's going to be murdered in plain sight, maybe after they murder someone else.
Yeah,
they'll be left on a cliffhanger.
Yeah, like it's time to go for drinks and then they've got to kiss them on the cheek or whatever. Yeah,
that's coming anyway. But I know what you mean, that double kind of elimination. Yeah. Listen, if Diane is gone, I think Diane's the one who would be making a comeback. It might be a secret
room. Bring back Sonia, I say.
But
bring back Sonia.
Imagine.
Sonia.
Okay, we're going to have your thoughts and theories after this.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome back. We're now going to go to your thoughts and theories with Rebecca.
First up, an email from Pete, who's messaged into shrinepodcast.com. Thank you, Pete. Pete says, given the suspicion on Paul and the lack of real suspicion about many others, why didn't they vote Paul? The odds on him being a traitor, given the dungeon fiasco, were higher than anyone else being one. So the gamble on voting Paul off outweighed the risk that he was a faithful, or risk of voting off someone else.
Totally. I just would love to see how they ended up all pivoting from Paul to Johnny.
Yeah, it was a dramatic turn. Pete says, had he announced that he was a faithful, it would have just been it was worth being, you know, taking a gamble on you versus the gamble on someone else. And it would have put the divide on, is it him to not be, put the divide on, is it him, is it not to bet type of situation.
Yeah.
Because it would have just sorted it out. So yeah, great point, Pete. We don't know what happened there. We had a good few tweets in. Martin says, the round table was dire. Nevertheless, Paul is under the illusion that he's much cleverer than everyone, than he actually is. He will be toast in an episode or two.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I thought he was going to be toast yesterday.
So did I.
Vicky says, I think some of the faithful are onto Paul, but they aren't saying anything for fear of being murdered. Jazz, Evie, who did also suspect Ash, by the way, and Anthony, at the very least. It is a bit frustrating that they won't voice these concerns, and Paul keeps getting away with being smug. True. Mm-hmm. Tony says, Harry bigs up his values and standards as an army dude and then bins a fellow squaddy war hero so he can maybe take home 120 grand. Wow, way to win that game, bitch. Yeah.
War, oh what God. Is it good for? Absolutely nothing.
Danny says, I'm loving Claudia flirting with Andrew in one sentence and then the next treating him like a dog. She says, oh, look at those strong arms. And then she said, good boy, good boy. Nin says, why does Paul write the name in full view of those sat next to him? Also, it's a bit sus that all the male traitors are shortlisting all women to murder next. Yeah, I wasn't mad on it all being women, but sure, listen, I think they're just going for character. I think they're just trying to be strategic, you know, with the personalities rather than the genders, do you know that way? Claire says, I think Paul is a great traitor and character, but he will be his own downfall. I fully expect him to be stroking a cat with an evil laugh as well. Yeah. Anna G has been on. She says, why have I got a feeling that Harry and Paul are going to turn on each other at some point? Or maybe Paul will turn on Harry. There's just something it's about building. The way that they're interacting with each other that seems a bit different than before. Oh no, Paul had a look in his face when Harry, like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Claudia said, I don't know if he said this on the podcast already, but she's done an interview to say there was one round table in this series where she left the room physically shaking. Ooh. She was like, it was that intense. So I'm wondering, are we going to see
my man Anthony
see a Paul going for Harry someone. Showdown?
Yes, that's great.
Barb says Diane can't hide her proud mum face. True, she really can't. She's gazing
she
at Ross
to.
Like she's gazing
hide
at
us,
him.
Diane.
Literally hide it. Luke says, "Don't mind me. I'm just going to be here making Diane's shoulder tattoo my whole personality for the next week."
What does she have?
She's something on the back of her left shoulder. I saw it in the kitchen from a distance. Don't know what it is.
Someone write in and tell us what that is. That's stunning.
Yeah, we need to zoom in. And I was howling at a few of these posts on Twitter. A fella named David said, every night I'm confronted with a blonde woman that I never knew previously existed.
And come here, two of them are identical. I'm sorry. Charlie and Evie. Rebecca, Allah, you. I thought they were the same person until last night.
Well, yeah, Evie was delighted that they both got side-by-side screen time. She tweeted to say that finally people know they're two different people.
Yeah, so Charlie's...
Yeah, because I'm telling you now, I did...
Charlie's from Bristol, yeah? Is that the crack? Yeah.
She fired the catapult.
Bristolian woman. And Evie is, I'm still convinced, works with Miles in a veterinary.
Yeah, I know. Oh my God. And Shane Reaction, best account on Twitter. Shane says, the players are so bad at spelling each other's names. I genuinely think when they start to vote for Miles, someone is bound to spell kilometre.
Very good.
Oh my God, I was crying. Carol's been on. Carol says, hi guys, I love the pod. Did you notice that they used the theme tune to Vigil as the players were heading to bed at the end of the show?
Yeah.
I didn't notice that.
Subliminal advertising.
I didn't know it was Vigil, but I knew I heard something that sounded familiar, but I couldn't place it. Is that what it was?
And I think...
Our last podcast.
Unless I'm mistaken, they definitely had the soundtrack from...
Love Actually.
I was about to say Intermission.
I thought I heard a bit of Love Actually going on the last episode.
What's that film that Cillian Murphy's in? It's a Chris Nolan film and they go inside
Inception.
Inception. Thank you, Inception. They got that soundtrack as well. The budget's through
guys,
the roof.
I was having a flashback because I go to Nathan last night. I said, what is that song? I know that song. Is that London Grammar? What song is that? Is that in their like album? What is that? It was feckin' Vigil soundtrack.
I thought it was Love Actually.
You're associating the two. You watch them both at the same time before Christmas.
Maybe.
Very Christmas.
Joanne says, can we find out about the hole in the kitchen island? I didn't see this.
Is it like a garbage disposal
Joanne
thing?
Says there's a toaster in it and cornflakes. I didn't notice this.
Okay, love that. Also, speaking of the kitchen island, isn't it absolutely mad they just stand around eating their dinner in plates in their hands? Like, is there not a stunning table? Obviously not the round table, but is there not somewhere they could be seated
back
for
into
a meal?
The breakfast room pets.
They're in the corridor eating their full roast.
I think that's all deliberate. So they break off into a few groups because there's no seats and then they have those chats and they don't want them to be too relaxed before the round table and feel at ease.
But they don't want them to have another round table moment that's not a round table.
No.
Very clever.
Yeah.
It's very true, Rebecca.
Producer extraordinaire.
Excuse me.
Now,
BAFTA.
I have a few voice notes, guys. I think you're going to thoroughly enjoy. You can send us voice notes anytime heading to shrinepodcast.com. We want to hear from you. First up, Lindsay's been on. She's been watching closely.
I thought it was really interesting that Johnny was accused of deflecting questions, but Paul does the exact same and almost none of them are picking up on it. Charlotte seems to be willing to die on the hill that Paul is innocent, but I'm curious about what we haven't seen that is making her so insistent. They seem to be really close, but we aren't being shown that in the interaction in the episodes, so I'm wondering if that might come up later. As for Harry, there was no need for him to vote Johnny at all at the round table, and he's dug himself into that hole to cry in. Miles, lovely Miles, although he is quiet and slipping under the radar now, his lack of commitment to accusing people might come back to bite him in the bum later on when people remember his fence sitting. And finally, I couldn't end this without speaking about Queen Diane. As a teacher myself, I just know that she made the inspectors quake with fear when they entered her classroom. And I really hope that she survives the night.
Oh my God, usually it's the other way around. Normally teachers shake because the inspector's coming in. Yeah. Imagine being the one teacher that the inspectors are scared of.
She's just powerful. She's a very powerful person.
That was a beautiful accent. And there was stunning accents in the last episode as well, guys. The man from Australia had me crying laughing when I was listening back.
Oh my God, so good. Great observations there from Lindsay, and true about Miles. Yeah, he doesn't want to be, you don't want him to be too quiet. And Harry, I'm like, was that like a power move from Harry? I suppose they don't know who the rest are voting for though, so he probably,
I honestly think if I was a faithful, I would be thick as shit. I wouldn't, no. I'd literally just have to pluck a name out of the thin air.
One person voting for Evie.
I'd just pluck a name out of the thin air.
Who voted for Evie last night out of nowhere?
I'd be killed.
Honestly, it was so funny.
I'd be killed for barking up the wrong tree or the right tree too much. I'm like, ruff, 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 ruff. They'd be like, get
rid of her. Guys, I think that was a power move
from
Harry.
Who was the Scottish Terrier? Was it?
I think that was Harry going to Paul. Okay, we teamed up and we got Ash out, but don't think I won't turn on you because I'm kicking out my best friend. Hurt me, but watch this. So I love that from Harry. I've decided now, just in the last minute, that I'm going to turn on Paul and I want him out now. I've had enough.
Oh, God.
I don't like the cult leader vibes he's given off. I don't like how obsessed he is that he was voted most popular. I think his game is falling apart. Get him out. That's what I
want him in for another few episodes though, and then I want to see him fucked over.
I want to watch him squirm.
Yeah, say.
No, I'm outside the Big Brother house chanting, get him out, get him out. I'm done. I've had enough. I want Anthony and Miles to rise to the forefront and Jazz and see what they have to bring to the table.
So next up, we have a voice note from Rachel, who came up with the idea of shrine dating in our last podcast series about Vigil.
I'm still single. Don't let it be Diane, please. I'm really getting to like her and I love the whole mother and son thing. Paul is just so annoying. Please, please let him get voted out. Love Johnny. Why did Johnny have to go? And bless Harry, he was devastated. I love this programme. And I'm only watching it because you're doing the podcasts on it. Otherwise, I wouldn't have bothered.
Oh, Rachel, thank you for listening to the pod and thank you for your talks.
Love, Rachel.
Yeah, everyone needs to remember, it's a game. Like, Harry's hyperventilating. I'm like, you voted for him because you want the money, pet. It is a game and you're doing what you need to do to win.
Yeah, you're there to play the game. Yeah. And finally, Lizzie has been on with a wild theory.
You guys are all saying, oh, you know, why didn't Ash give a little parting gift? Now, tell me if I've gone to Line of Duty magnets on the fridge here with this. That's a retro reference for the Line of Duty fans. But when Ash left, her little speech, first of all, she said, you are a marvellous group of people, beginning with M, which I thought was a quite weird choice of word. And then she said, it's been an honour, H, and a privilege, P. M-H-P. Miles, Harry, Paul. Is she actually super cunning and was giving a parting gift for the smartest people in the room?
Ooh.
Or have I gone too far? Over to the other side. Thank you. Good night.
Too far.
Amazing observation.
There's no way that she had enough time around that table when they were sweating. The woman couldn't even say the words, I'm not a traitor. Don't waste your vote on me. Lizzie, I'm sorry, but there's no way she came up with that. It's just a pure
I think she did.
Not a hope. Not a hope.
We'll have to find out.
She had two nights thinking she was getting voted out. I think she lay in the bed
last night.
She had a whole day in a dungeon to come up with that.
No, she had a whole day in a dungeon to come up with the reason to not get banished. And she couldn't manage that. No.
I would be horrendous on this show.
Get her on. I get her on the
Ash,
podcast.
If you're listening,
I want to
tweet
hear.
Us.
Please, we want to chat to you.
I'm not underestimating you, Ash. No.
Well, guys, that's it from us. The Traitor's back tonight from 9 at BBC One, and we'll be back tomorrow morning.
That's it. So send in your voice notes, interact with us on Twitter, email us, DM us. You could maybe
carrier pigeon.
Try and write.
Oh my God, use an owl. You could try. Use an owl.
You could write something with a scroll and attach it to an owl. You could see if it gets to us. You never know. You could clairvoyantly send us a message.
Oh yeah, I'll pick that up.
Rebecca will charge the crystals tonight. She'll pick that up and she'll have your clairvoyant premonitions tomorrow. But we can't wait to hear from you. We can't wait to see what's going to happen tonight. We know that we're going to get left with a cliffhanger because it's a Friday night. We have to wait till next week.
A cliffhanger. And I think,
happen,
is it on a Friday's episode where we get the next time? We get the teaser.
We do. So as we move into the second week, you know, who do we think is going to get kicked out? It's all going to kick off. Guys, that's the second time I've done that. I'm just enjoying it so much. Time is passing so quickly. But look, we love yous and we'll hopefully have an answer about the missing car or the missing person, the owner of the car for you tomorrow. And until then,
if I'd like to send a message to you now via clairvoyancy, what's the P.O. box? How do I get this to you?
I'm actually just going to ask Ash for the P.O. box and it's going to be the names of the people that are going out in the next few episodes.
I won't reveal, into numbers. I won't reveal my soul.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Horses.